This is the Friday, May 10, 2024 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The Word of Gov on Friday reported lower production in Brazil and Argentina, while wheat exports were higher. For the week, the nearby wheat contract was up 41 cents, and the July corn contract added a dime. USDA cuts to production numbers for Brazil caused a brief flurry of activity, but ultimately the final session closed near even with last Friday. The July soybean contract gained 4 cents, while July meal shed 30 cents per ton. July cotton shrank by 61 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, June Class 3 milk futures surged higher again, this time by $1.25. The livestock market was lower. June cattle fell 53 cents. August feeders cut 3.85. And the June lean hog contract subtracted 57 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index added 26 ticks. June crude oil was up 2 cents per barrel. COMEX gold improved 66.70 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index was up almost 5 points to settle at 578.70. Joining us now, regular market analyst and coiner of the phrase Word of Gov, Dan Huber. I like that, Dan.
It kind of sums it all up. Yes, it does.
What'd the Word of Gov say to you today?
I really was nothing shocking in there. If anything, I would say the Brazilian bean crop, you know, was not reduced, you know, and they're well above most of the private estimates out there. So maybe something you look forward to later, or maybe the USDA knows something we don't know as far as what production is down there, but I don't think that's the case. But outside of that, you know, the domestic number is a little bit positive as far as projected carryout. Nothing that you would look at and say bullish by any stretch, particularly in the long-term picture in the soybean market, both domestic and global. But, you know, the market's coming into the last few weeks, the market we know is heavily short, and, you know, this is the time of the year. Sometimes it's a little bit challenging to be on the short side, which I think some large specs have found out here recently. So,
folks who have your vocation were discussing this afternoon that they didn't agree. Oh, first they said they agreed with your sentiment on soybeans, the thinking that looks a little more bearish. Then somebody else said no. But there was this concern that maybe there wasn't enough cut out of Brazil and their production. What do you say?
Right. Oh, and I tend to agree with that. You know, the challenge is you really can't cut enough to turn the situation to one that's truly positive. Some of the estimates I've seen, I think the USDA was 152 today. I don't remember the exact number. I've seen some as low as 145. And even if you sliced it off that far, you know, you're still looking at 13, 14 million metric tons more than a year ago. You know, you're still 500 million bushels. So it's, you know, like I say, we're not going to slice that much out of it. When you look at total South American crops, so it's just not a situation you can ultimately make bullish unless we really ran into a serious weather issue here.
And the Argentinian strike is not necessarily going to reflect in a USDA report, given it's so new.
No,
and neither is, I guess this is the question,
sure,
neither does the weather from the last 2 weeks.
The weather of the last 2 weeks would not fit into this number, no.
Okay.
No, but that said, and I had read some reports this week that, you know, that southern the Rio Grande do Sul region where they're having so much rain and flooding and various things at this point, you know, you might be able to take 1 to 2 million metric tons off because of that. But, you know, here again, too, 1 or 2 million metric tons is not going to change it to a bullish scenario.
Are the bulls still in the wheat market?
Well, I don't know if the bulls have really been in the wheat market. You've had a lot of shorts who've wanted to get out of the wheat market, and as is translated back over into the corn and wheat. But once you scratch the surface on any of these, it's hard to find really a bullish story. I think we came in overly loaded to the negative side. I think those people have been scattering for the hills. Interestingly enough, and it did comment this morning in the Newswire, if you go back and look at the old Voice from the Tomb story that supposedly is kind of a forerunner to seasonal type trades, May 10th is when you're supposed to sell wheat. So, I mean, if you'd waited till May 10th, you know, not a bad move here this year. So,
I'm also picking up from you that maybe we should sell on May 10th because you don't get. I don't hear from you saying we can move much higher.
When I look at the wheat, I think outside of shorts coming out of the market, I don't see much there that you would really consider long term friendly. So yes, I think it's probably a time to make a move. The conditions, granted, conditions can change quite a bit, but I mean certainly nothing overly concerning there. So I would be on the sell side at this point.
One more question on wheat, but it's going to transition to corn and beans.
Okay.
And this is Matt in Iowa who submitted it. I believe this one is from Facebook. Thank you. Will the wheat continue to help corn and soybeans higher, or will they go their own way lower?
I would tend to think we're going to transition to where corn, and maybe to a lesser extent beans, are leading the charge higher, which might help support wheat a little bit, but I don't think wheat is the leader. And if anything, it could start acting as the anchor that tempers any much more enthusiasm in the corn or soybeans.
What moves corn higher then?
And here again, too, we're confronted with the same problem. Now, I haven't seen the commitment of traders here this afternoon for the, and granted, that's always a few days behind. We are still sitting with a very heavy short position on large specs and managed money. So, as you look over the next 30, 60 days, you're still at your greatest risk position in the growing season. So I think, maybe a little bit of delayed planning concern there, but I think that'll be the driving force as we take these people out. Generally, they'll come away from shorts until you get to the end of June. If there's no major issue growing condition-wise at the end of June, 1st of July, they'll come right back in again. So,
for that deferred December contract,
mm-hmm.
Speaking of planting delays, which we talked about
a couple of times
earlier in this program, are we to the point yet that's a concern to traders?
I think it's probably aided some of the rally, but I don't think it's a considerable concern at this point in time. So it's always challenging to rally a market or grain market on too much moisture. It's good for crops, isn't it? Rain makes it rain, right? So it's not that it hasn't encouraged a little bit more of the short covering, but I don't think it's turned anybody to a bull. And I think a lot of people are kind of thinking, well, if we lose a little corn acreage, that just becomes all the more bearish for soybeans. So it kind of tempers that enthusiasm itself.
If you have positions both in July and December,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting on some old crop and you think you should move some new crop, am I moving on either one of those? Is there one you like better?
I think we're, the old crop, hopefully you don't have much of a position there, but I think if you extend any higher next week, I certainly would be considering parting with that. For some time, if you go back to the beginning of the year, when we opened trade on January 2nd or 3rd, whatever the date was, December corn gapped below $5. We've never revisited that. And I think we'll get up and we'll test that $5. We'll try to fill that gap. I think it's at 503. And, much above and beyond there, I think you really would have to have a more substantial weather issue to make that happen. So, sure, in that $4.90 to $5 range, I think it's time to start rewarding the new crop as well.
When you kind of transition into soybeans,
mm-hmm.
there are some similarities. You mentioned that wheat might not pull corn and soybeans along. Corn and soybeans might do it themselves.
Sure.
What do you see soybeans doing?
Similar scenario, although I think less of a friendly story, less of a concern, particularly when it comes to planting delays and that type of thing. The South American issues, both Argentina and Brazil have probably helped kind of prop that up, allowing people to take a little more risk off the table looking into the summer months. I think the upside is kind of limited there as well. Using that same scenario, when corn gapped under $5, beans gapped under $12.50, new crop beans, it was $12.44, $12.45. Sure, I think we could get there, and maybe we could print a 13 in front of the beans, but I think that's, anything between $12.50 and $13, I think it's time to reward.
I asked Sue last week, are beans in the teens possible? And she said yes. Do you see beans in the teens possible in 2024? For November.
13, sure. That's in that realm. So I think that's a possibility, but I think it's the upper side of the range, again, without a significant weather issue.
That's what you see as the big story, is the weather issue there?
Yep. Yeah, I think demand, we're just not in the ballpark at this point in time. It's world supplies, we're not in the ballpark at this point.
Speaking of world,
yes.
We had issues on Friday with the White House and China, a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Electric vehicles, a large tariff coming, rumors of a potential tariffs against Chinese used cooking oil. That might be friendly to some things in the United States. How do you see it?
You know, the as far as U.S. demand, you know, we're basically their buyer of last resort to begin with. I mean, they'll come to us if we're cheap enough. So I don't think it upsets the apple cart that much. It's you know, if they need the product and we're the cheapest, they're going to buy it from us. That's just the way the Chinese operate. They won't certainly look to us first, but you know, if need be, that they'll buy what they need. But you know, I think there's part of the issue with China is that, you know, we already know they've displaced South American product with. In lieu of the U.S. product, and then take the take it the next step further, where they are very, very deliberately trying to trim back on their hog industry. So you've already reduced the amount of demand from that nation to begin with. So again, I think there's where I have a difficult time you know, finding a positive picture, particularly when it comes to feed grains.
And it being an election year, you don't see that playing politically. In changing things?
Domestically? Not really. You know, and again, I don't think Biden thinks he has a farm vote to begin with, so I don't, you know, why try to change that?
Cotton-wise, that had been for a while an export story. Then it became a domestic story. Then if you looked at the weather maps, the last several weeks, the Delta has been pretty wet. Is that doing anything to the crop?
Has not. I mean, well, I shouldn't say not doing anything to the crop, but it certainly hasn't done anything to stimulate prices. In fact, we've pushed into new lows for the year. So I think they're assuming the acreage is going to be there this year. And, you know, and of course, even that fits in with if it gets in early enough, you know, this is delaying it now. But, you know, could have been some double crop with soybeans. But boy, we're going to have to find some export business there again, because domestically it's just not cutting it at this time.
Did you see any positive news, though, that the cotton market didn't slide any further south like it had been on that pace for a while this week?
You know, of course, all markets at some point just run out of people wanting to, you know, we pushed it far enough. Why keep beating the dead horse? So I you know, that's when you find a bottom. Of course, bottoms never come because the news is bullish. It's become you've become tired of trading the same old negative news. And yeah, we're probably reaching that point in cotton, but.
Are we reaching that point in live cattle? Negative news? Too much of it?
You know, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd go that far. I think cattle market's very indecisive at this point. I don't know if they really know which way to turn. I kind of tend to think that cattle, you know, granted, a lot of balls in the air here at this point in time, a lot of concern about what's going on with the avian flu and that type of thing. But I think the biggest concern here is people are still pushing back against what they're paying at the grocery stores at this point in time. And I think, you know, beef is the one that could probably suffer the worst if, you know, that we really start to see a cutback in what people are spending on groceries.
But for the longest time, we're still buying nice cuts of meat.
Oh, absolutely. It's still a treat. And, of course, it's still still delicious to eat. So, I mean, it's hard to turn away from that. So,
live cattle-wise, or feeder cattle-wise, we do have a question we'll get to in Market Plus about feeder cattle, but I'm going to ask you this one. Do you see this consolidation? Is this a consolidation that we're seeing right now
in the
feeder market?
In the
August contract.
I mean, feeders and fats both. I mean, I think they're both very, like I say, at a very indecisive point and looking for something new to come in from the outside. And, you know, I wish I had a better feel for the cattle market right now. But like I say, I think they are just in flux. They don't know which way to turn.
I was asked a couple of times last weekend about cattle, and I kind of looked at them and said, from what I'm hearing, for the people that sit across from me, they think the top might be in for the near term.
Well, you know, and I would say you probably be a long term on that, you know, considering what we saw last year in the cattle market. You know, conversely, you know, what the cattle enjoyed last year, the hogs didn't. And, of course, they've kind of come back around. And I kind of tend to think that the hogs could be the one picking up the slack for the livestock industry this year. So.
But the hogs were the slack this week.
Well, this week. But, I mean, we'd had a pretty substantial rally over the last 2 to 3 months, so due for a corrective pullback. But right now, I don't think it's anything more than that. Just a correction. The normal seasonal trend up into the summer months, I think, is still with us. So,
but was there any particular reason for hogs this week moving lower?
Oh, you know, I didn't see anything big within the numbers. So, I mean, I think it was probably just lack of new interest coming in. We need to retrace to some lower levels before we attract the buying interest once again.
We're still kind of in that range. Is there any one of those three of the livestock we mentioned? I'm thinking you're saying live hogs, you think, has the best outlook for the rest of 24?
I would tend to say if I was going to be in a spread position, it would be hogs against cattle, long hogs against short cattle.
And the dollar, do you think that's done going moving? in the direction?
You know, 2 weeks ago, you know, it came back some this
10
week.
10 seconds, sorry.
All right, 2 weeks ago, the dollar actually had a big reversal to the downside. The last time we did that, we spent about 6-8 weeks moving lower. I think we could see something comparable, but not a disaster.
Okay. So, yeah. Thanks, Dan Huber. Good to see you. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks much. All right.
All right, that's Dan. And we're going to pause this conversation with Dan and continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. Being a member, or in this case, being a subscriber, has privileges, especially when it comes to our content. You will be the first to know when we publish to YouTube, when you ring the bell and allow notifications on any of our stories, podcasts, or full program. Join the gathering at youtube.com/markettomarket. Next week, the push for genetic diversity in livestock. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.